Lord Shiva prayed to Brinda Devi to allow him entrance into the Rasa dance. And this is where Brinda Devi gave him the instruction to go to Mansarovar to take bath and take the form of a gopi. This is also the place that Srila Rupa Goswami discovered the deity of Brinda Devi, who is considered to be the presiding deity of Vrindavan. At one time, Brinda Devi Murti was installed in the Radha Govindaji temple. But at the time of the Mughal invasion, Brinda Devi was brought to Kamvan, where she is now presiding. Brahmakund is also the place where Bilva Mangala Thakur, or Leela Shuka, performed his austerities. This was his place of residence. In fact, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada explains that Bilva Mangala Thakur performed austerities at Brahmakunda for 700 years. Rio!
Rio!
And this is also the place where, after it is said, after Brahma stole the cows for 1 year and the cowherd boys, he came to this place to offer prayers to Lord Sri Krishna. Therefore it is called Brahmakund. And it is described in Bhakti Ratnakar, in Padma Purana and other scriptures, that by bathing in this Radhakund or Brahmakund, one is purified of all anartas and one attracts the mercy of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. So let us bow down. But don't bow down here, because people use this place for other reasons. So, of course, it's all recycled prasad through the bodies of Vrijvasis. Still, there's unity and diversity. My humble suggestion is we step back a little and offer our obeisances to Sri Brahmakund. There's also a nice darshan of Brahma and the cowherd boys and calves and Krishna. Hariyo!
Hariyo! Hariyo! Hariyo!
This is the arena that Kamsa built for the historical wrestling match between Krishna Balaram and Chanura in Mushtika. Kamsa, in his previous birth, was a great demon named Kalanemi. And during the battle between the demigods and the demons, the Supreme Lord Vishnu descended on his bird carrier Garuda. At that time, Kalanemi was riding on a lion, and he threw his lance, but it was easily defeated, and Lord Narayan killed Kalanemi. Now Narada Muni told Kamsa that in your previous birth as Kalanemi, you were killed by Vishnu. So upon hearing this, Kamsa became a very bitter enemy of Lord Vishnu. And when he heard that Vishnu would be born as the eighth child of Devaki, he was so much envious of Vishnu that he not only killed the first six children, but after Krishna was brought to Gokul, and Yogamaya floated into the sky and told Kamsa that the eighth son is already born elsewhere. Kamsa was so frightened that he actually called to the various demons and told them to kill all the children born in the recent past. How cruel a man can be just to save his own selfish interests. Kamsa, previous to the birth of Krishna, he had so much power, like that of 10,000 elephants. He literally defeated every demon in the entire universe and forced them either to die at his hands or to be his servants. So it was for this reason that Kamsa had all the greatest, most powerful demons in the universe under his control. Putana, Agha, Baka, Keshi, Vyoma, Arista, Pralamba, so many demons, Trinavarta, but they were all killed by the hands of Krishna and Balaram. So he devised a plan. He sent Akrura to Vrindavan to invite them to a wrestling match. And Akrura came with Krishna and Balaram, and some of the gopas, Nanda Maharaj and others, also came to watch this wrestling match. And they came to Mathura. And you know the story how Krishna, those who were favorable toward him, he bestowed the ultimate benedictions upon them, like Sudama the florist. And for others, like the washermen who would not surrender what they had for him, who were envious due to the association of Kamsa, he destroyed them. Krishna broke the mighty bow of Kamsa, and then Kamsa sent, as Krishna was coming with Balaram to this wrestling arena, the mighty demon elephant Kuvalyapida, who was very, very powerful. And Krishna easily killed this great demon elephant, and he and Balaram entered into the wrestling arena. And Chanura and Mustika, they were very, very powerful rakshasa, asuras. And Krishna was this little boy. He was only about, at the time, 12 years and 12 and a half years old. How old is he? Zero. Authentic. So he was 12 years old, 12 and a half. And Chanura and Rustika were very big, strong. They didn't have to lift weights, they could lift mountains. And the people around, when Krishna entered into the wrestling arena, everyone saw Krishna according to their particular consciousness. Krishna says in Gita, Jeja Thamam Prapadyante Thamstathaiva Bhajanya Mama Vartanu Varatam Te Manusya Paratasaravasya, that as you approach me, I reward you accordingly. And it is true that according to our consciousness, Krishna will reveal himself to us. So the young ladies of Mathura, they saw Krishna as the supreme, most charming and beautiful Cupid. The yogis saw him as the Paramatma, the goal of all their meditation. The wicked people saw him as the rod of chastisement, which has come to rectify their bad deeds. The impersonal jnanis, they saw him as the Brahma Jyoti. In this way, various people saw Krishna in various ways. And Kamsa saw him as death personified. But the pious people of Mathura were thinking, what is this? They are two little children, and they are wrestling against these big, gigantic professionals. But as an infant little baby, he killed Trinavarta and Putana. What to speak when he was 12 and a half years old.
Evil.
Evil. Evil. Tiger, don't answer him when he says that. So Chanura and Mustika were killed by Krishna at this very place. And then just on the hill where we will go in a second, Krishna, Kamsa, he was such a terrible, envious fool that after he just saw these small children kill the great Chanura and Mustika, he began to frantically in anger condemn them, as we saw in the beautiful play. And he ordered not only them to be killed, but Vasudev, Devaki, Ugrasena, everyone to immediately be killed. And Krishna felt enough is enough. I have, like a cat sometimes plays with a mouse, Krishna allowed this rascal to live long enough. So he jumped on the raised dais where Kamsa was sitting on a throne, and Krishna took him by the hair. And he dragged him down to the wrestling arena, and he crawled upon his chest, and then with his mighty fist, killed Kamsa. Then he went like that. There you go. And then Kamsa's brothers all attacked, and Krishna and Balaram easily killed all the brothers. And in this way, Krishna killed Kamsa. And then after killing Kamsa and killing all of his brothers and Chanura and Mushtika, they went to a place called Vishwamghat. And they went there and they rested. Vishwamghat is the same place that Varahadev rested after killing Hiranyaksha and bringing the earth back to its position. And at Vishwamghat, Lord Varahadev spoke the Adi Varaha Purana, in which he describes the glories of Mathura and Vrindavan very beautifully. In the Bhakti Ratnakar by Narahari Chakravarti, he continuously explains Raghava Pandit's parikrama of Brajbhumi with Srinivas and Narottam, and he's constantly quoting what the Adi Varaha Purana says about each place of Brajbhumi that was spoken at Vishwamghat. So this is the resting place of the Supreme Lord, and it is explained that after Krishna killed Kamsa, because Kamsa had performed so many atrocities to Devaki and Vasudev, he wanted to make sure that Devaki and Vasudev had no more fear, so he began to drag him around by the hair, just dragging him all around the wrestling arena, just to make sure that everyone knows that the demon has died. Shri Bhagavan Krishna ki jai! So this is a very important place. It's called Kamsa Teal, the little place up there in the sea footprints. And this is Rangabhumi. This whole area is where Kamsa, Chanura, Mushtika, and everyone was killed by Lord Shri Krishna. Kamsa Nishida. Very well. Just after the disappearance of Lord Krishna, Bhajanath, the great grandson of Lord Sri Krishna, installed many beautiful deities throughout the area of Vrindavan. In this particular section of Vrindavan, Radha Govinda is the predominating deity.
Srila Rupa Goswami was sent by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu especially to establish Vrindavan as a great holy place by rediscovering the sacred deities and the holy spots of Lord Krishna's pastimes. After several years of Srila Rupa Goswami's incredibly devotional service, after excavating so many holy places and writing so many books, still he was feeling in his heart great dissatisfaction. The reason was because according to the Shastras, the beautiful beauty of Srila Radha Govindadev, which predominates over this part of Vrindavan, had not yet been found. Rupa Goswami searched extensively. He even went to the homes of the Brijvasis looking for him there. But there was no success. One day Srila Rupa Goswami, with lamentation in his heart, sat on the banks of the holy river Yamuna. At that time, a beautiful young boy who was a Brijabasi approached him. His body was beautiful. He was very gentle and quiet. He asked Rupa Goswami, "Why is it that you look so sad?" Rupa Goswami was spontaneously very attracted to this child. Thus he revealed his heart to him. The child told Srila Rupa Goswami, "There is no reason for you to be in anxiety. Just near to this place, there is a very, very holy Tirtha. A cow comes every day and lets down her milk into the ground. Hidden under the ground at that very place is Sri Govindadev. Come with me and I will show you where it is. It is on a hill called Gomatil." The Brijabasi boy personally brought Srila Rupa Goswami to this very place. He then disappeared. Srila Rupa Goswami understood within his heart who this boy was, and in the ecstasy of love and separation, he fell unconscious. He lay here for a long time, then he came back to consciousness. He went and gathered the townspeople and told them, "Govindadev is under the ground in this place. Bring your tools and let us dig to find him." Soon, thousands of Brijabasis gathered around, and just before they started digging, a divine voice spoke from the sky. It was the voice of Sri Balaramji, who gave all of his blessings for them to discover Sri Govindadev and to serve him. Without the blessings of the spiritual master, one cannot find Krishna, nor can one properly serve Krishna. Sri Balaramji is the original spiritual master, of whom all spiritual masters who repeat his words through Parampara are empowered by him. The Brijabasis dug. After some time, from the ground came the beautiful form of Sri Govindadev. When the people saw him, they were astonished. His beauty was greater than thousands upon thousands, millions upon millions of Kandarkas or Cupids. When they saw this beautiful form, everyone, their hearts were filled with natural love, tears in their eyes. They all began to call out, "Sri Govindadev ki!" Sri Govindadev ki! There was a wonderful festival. When the people of the Brijbas or the Brajbhumi area heard of the discovery of Govinda Dev, who had been under the ground for practically 4,000 years, hundreds and thousands of people came to celebrate this glorious occasion. Even demigods like Brahma, Shiva, and others disguised themselves as Brahmins just so that they could come and have a close darshan of the beautiful form of Sri Govinda. Srila Rupa Goswami was so much happy with this service to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He immediately wrote a letter to Lord Chaitanya, who was living in Puri, that I have found Sri Govinda Dev. Lord Chaitanya's heart was unbounded with ecstatic joy when he heard this news. He brought one of his most intimate associates, Kashishwar Pandit, to a solitary place and instructed him that you should go to Vrindavan and assist Srila Rupa Goswami in the service of Radha Govinda Dev. Kashishwar Pandit was Lord Chaitanya's godbrother by the etiquette of initiation. He and Govinda were the two personal servants of Srila Ishwara Puri. Just before Srila Ishwara Puri disappeared from this world, he instructed both Govinda and Kashishwar to become the personal servants of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri. After Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came from his South Indian tour back to Jagannath Puri, Govinda came, and shortly after that, Kashishwar Pandit came. Kashishwar Pandit was very strong in his physical build. Therefore, his special service to Lord Chaitanya was to protect him. When Lord Chaitanya would dance ecstatically in the kirtan of the chanting of the holy name, Kashishwar Pandit would hold the crowds back so that they would not disturb the Lord's beautiful chanting as all the devotees jubilantly and loudly chanted Krishna's name. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go to visit the Jagannath temple, sometimes there were crowds of people. Kashishwar Pandit would personally move all the people aside and make sure no one touched Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet, because in the mood of a devotee, he would never allow anybody to do that except on very special, intimate occasions. When Kashishwar Pandit heard Lord Chaitanya tell him to leave his personal association to go to Vrindavan, his heart was struck by a thunderbolt of pain. He began to lament. But, being a faithful devotee, he could not speak anything except his willingness to obey. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knows the hearts of each of his devotees. He understood the suffering in Kashishwar Pandit's heart. So Lord Chaitanya personally gave him a deity of himself. He told him, "This is my own deity form." The name of that deity was Gaur Govinda. It was the deity of Krishna playing the flute. But it was Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself personally residing in that deity. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him that you offer him food and you will personally see me eating whenever you offer with faith and devotion. Kashishwar Pandit was pacified by this generous and affectionate gesture of Lord Chaitanya toward him, and with the deity of Gaur Govinda, he came here to Vrindavan, installed Gaur Govinda just to the right side of Govinda Dev, and spent the rest of his life worshipping these two deities. This is very significant because this is the first deity of Lord Chaitanya in the history of our Sampradaya that came to the western provinces of India. We explain today in the Madan Mohan temple how Purushottam Dana, the son of Maharaj Pratapa Rudra, he sent two deities of Srimati Radharani, one for Madan Mohan and one for Govindadev. However, the pujari had a dream, and Radharani spoke to him and said, actually, one deity is me, Radharani, and the other is Lalita Sakhi, and we should be installed on the right and left side of Madan Mohan. When Purushottam Dana heard this, he was very joyful, but simultaneously very sad, because still Govindadev did not have the manifested form of Srimati Radharani beside him for the devotees to worship. So for a long time, he was searching for a suitable deity of Srimati Radharani. To his great sadness, he was not able to find anywhere. One night, Srimati Radharani appeared to him in a dream and explained, dear King, in the Jagannath temple I am residing. Everyone thinks I'm Lakshmi Devi and they worship me as her, but actually I am the original form of Sri Lakshmi Devi, Srimati Radharani. You should immediately send me to stand before my eternal counselor Govindadev and be worshipped by the Goswamis in Vrindavan. There's a beautiful story to this. Generations before, a deity of Sri Radharani from Vrindavan was sent to Utkala, Orissa, and she was worshipped by one very simple and pure devotee whose name was Vihad Bhanu. He worshipped her with such devotion and attention that even a moment without seeing her seemed like years and years of separation. He worshipped till he became very old and eventually left this world to return to the eternal abode of Goloka Vrindavan. Then there was no one to take care of this deity. The king of Puri came to that province and he heard the glories of this beautiful deity, and when he saw there was no one to worship him, he didn't know what to do. So he brought her back to Jagannath Puri and placed her in the Puri temple. After some generations, people began to think that she was Lakshmi Devi, so they worshipped her as Lakshmi. And she revealed herself to those devotees as Lakshmi Devi. But on this particular night, she told the king, Purushottam Dana, actually, I am Srimati Radharani. Send me to Vrindavan. So there was a wonderful, wonderful procession, and here, at this very spot, she was installed to the great joy of all of the Vrijavasis and Goswamis, and thus we have Sri Sri Radha Govinda. Some years later, Aurangzeb, actually before that, I'm sorry, one of the disciples of Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, whose name is Raj Man Singh of Ambar near Jaipur, he was a general in the army of King Akbar, and it was he who arranged the construction of this beautiful temple, Sri Sri Radha Govindadev. The most spectacular achievement of architecture in all of North India. This temple was 7 stories at the time in height. But years later, Aurangzeb, who was living at the time in Agra, he had seen the wonderful dew lamps that were burning on the roof of this temple. And when he found out it was a temple of the Hindus, he became outraged that the Hindus could have such a monumental structure worshiping their god. He sent his soldiers to Vrindavan to destroy the temples as well as the objects of the worship of the devotees. Upon hearing this, the king of Jaipur, Maharaj Jai Singh, he arranged for the prominent deities of Vrindavan to be secretly brought to Jaipur. They took the deities of Radha Govinda, Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Gopinath, Radha Madhava, Radha Vinod, Radha Damodar, Vrinda Devi. The story of Vrinda Devi is very beautiful. When Srila Rupa Goswami was living here, Vrinda Devi appeared to him in a dream and told him that my murti form, which was originally installed by Vajra, is under the ground near Brahma Kund. So Rupa Goswami excavated the Vrinda Devi and installed it also in this temple. So all those deities were being secretly escorted from Vrindavan. First they were brought to Sri Radha Kund, where they stayed for a short time. Then they were brought to Kamyavan, where they stayed for some time. And then they were brought to Rajasthan, Sri Jaipur, where the king protected them with his great strength. And to this day, the original deities of Sri Radha Govinda are worshipped in Jaipur, and thousands and thousands and thousands of people come each and every day for Mangal Aarti and Sandhya Aarti in the evening. One of the most joyously enthusiastic congregations of devotees in all of the world. So Srila Rupa Goswami, we have heard beautiful discussions of his life and glories by His Holiness Jayadurtha Maharaj and His Grace Dinabandhu Prabhu this morning. This was the holy land where he worshipped Sri Radha Govinda. Govinda Dev is the Abhideya Murti, which means that we worship him to engage in his active service with complete attachment. And through that attachment, we gradually, by his grace, achieve the state of Prema Bhakti. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, Prema Puna Kumartha Mahan, the ultimate goal of all goals, the Purusharta Sironami, is pure unaware love of Krishna. The next place we will go from here is the deity of Sri Radha Gopinath, the Prayojana Murti, who is worshipped for pure unalloyed love for the Supreme Lord of Vrindavan. So here, let us take this very, very wonderful opportunity in this beautiful temple amongst so many sincere and devoted Vaishnavas to pray at the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Govinda Dev, that we may forever be engaged with our body, mind, words, and life as the servant of the servant of the servant of their servants. I was living in Vrindavan, he would regularly come here to offer his worship at the lotus feet of Sri Radha Govinda Dev. And so much transcendental joy he experienced that he wanted to share it with the whole world. And thus he has come into our lives to induce us to live the lives according to the teachings of Sri Rupa Goswami, and to come together here in Vrindavan to chant
the holy names of Sri Ramakrishna.
And he was worshipping the Lord. Gopinath was also one of the original murtis, which was installed in Brajbhumi about 5,000 years ago by Vajranath, the great grandson of Lord Sri Krishna. And he also became hidden from human perception for many long years. And Paramananda Bhattacharya, it was revealed to him that Sri Gopinath was to be found under the Bamsiva tree where we visited this last night. It was explained that the river Jamuna was flooding and the original Bamsiva tree was being uprooted. So Paramananda Bhattacharya, he took one branch from the Bamsiva tree and planted it so another would grow. And it was at that time that he found the original beautiful deity of Sri Sri Radha Gopinathji. And later on, he turned the worship of Sri Gopinathji over to his beloved disciple, Sri Madhu Pandit. And it was here that Madhu Pandit had arranged this beautiful temple to be built for Sri Sri Radha Gopinathji. Gopinath was also the worshipable deity of Janava Devi here in Vrindavan Dham. So in honor of Srimati Janava Devi, the eternal consort of Nityananda Prabhu, in her original spiritual form of the younger sister of Srimati Radharani, Ananga Manjari, she is assisting Srimati Radharani in the worship of Sri Gopinath Dev. Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Ji. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that the Gopinath Murti is presiding over the highest principle of Prayojana Jnana. Prayojana is the ultimate perfection of one's spiritual development, wherein one is bestowed by the grace of Srimati Radharani, the ecstatic love and the mood of the servants of the gopis of Brajbhumi, which is the ultimate stage of purified consciousness in the spiritual world, as taught by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So let us worship Sri Sri Radha Gopinathji, Sri Ananga Manjari, Janavi Devi, with the prayer that we too may follow in the footsteps of the most glorious residents of Vrindavan, giving up all desires, all activities, save and except those which give great pleasure to Radha Gopinathji and their devotees. Sri Sri Radha Gopinathji.
Radha Ramana Hari Bol, Radha Ramana Hari Bol.
Goswami, the son of Sri Venkata Bhatta from Sri Rangam, rendered menial personal service to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during his 4-month stay in that holy place in South India. And later, on the order of the Lord, he came here to Vrindavan to become one of the great six Goswamis. He was worshipping 8 Shalagram Shilas at this very spot where we are sitting now. It happened that a very wealthy person was giving nice paraphernalia for the Goswamis of Vrindavan to worship their deities. Rupa Goswami was worshipping the beautiful form of Radha Govindaji, Sanatana Goswami, Sri Madan Mohan, Radha Gopinath by Madhu Pandit and others. And Gopal Bhatta Goswami, with pure love and devotion, was worshipping his Shalagram Shilas. But he so much wanted to have the fortune of increasing his worship to the Lord. He wanted to see and to serve the beautiful three-fanged bending form of Shamsundara. So on Nirasingha Chaturdasi, he was sitting here and he was praying that on this day, the Supreme Personality of Godhead manifested his beautiful, beautiful form from a stone pillar. So he prayed to Lord Shamsundar, he also allow him to serve his beautiful form by revealing it through his stones in the form of Shalagram Shiva. So on the very next morning, he went to take his bath in the river Jamuna. And when he returned with the water for the Abhishek, he found that his Damodar Shila had manifested into the beautiful form of Lord Sri Krishna, standing with 3 curves in his body, playing upon his flute. This Murti that we have just had darshan of, who is worshipped even today with such sweet devotion, is a self-manifesting deity that revealed himself through the Shalagram Shiva. And the pujaris of the temple explained that in the back of the deity, a part of the original Shiva is still present, from which the deity grew out of by his own sweet will. When Gopal Bhatta Goswami informed Srila Rupa Goswami and others, they all came, and when they saw the wonderful form of Sri Radharaman, it was actually Rupa Goswami, it is said, who named him Radharaman. Because this area of Brajbhumi near Nidiban is the place where Krishna gives pleasure to Srimati Radharani. And Srimati Radharani is the supreme object of enjoyment for Sri Krishna. So therefore he called Radharaman. And it is said that the deity of Radha Govindaji, when he was carved under the direction of Vajranabh and his mother and aunt also helped, and the deity of Madan Mohan, the feet looked just like Krishna's. And the deity of Radha Govindaji, the hands and the chest look just like Sri Krishna. And the deity of Radha Gopinath, the face especially,
manifested the beauty of the face of Krishna.
But the Goswamis, when they saw Sri Radharaman, they all exclaimed that he has the feet of Madan Mohan, the hands and the waist and the chest of Sri Govindaji, and the face of Sri Radha Gopinathji. So all these three deities are simultaneously manifested in the beautiful form of Sri Radharaman. Gopal Bhatta Goswami worshipped this beautiful form with great love and great devotion. But one day it is explained he was feeling guilty and sad, and he began to cry because he was thinking that it was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who bestowed prema upon me. He is the worshipable Lord of my life. How could I worship Krishna without worshipping my eternal savior, Sri Gauranga? And in this emotional state of pure bhava, he wept and he wept. And one day when he was in this mood worshipping Sri Radharaman, right before his very eyes, Sri Radharaman manifested the form of Lord Gaurasundar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He saw that beautiful, graceful, golden form, bestowing his blessings upon him. And he was assured at that time that there is no difference between Lord Gauranga and Sri Radharaman. And in this way he worshipped the Lord to his heart's content and to the Lord's heart content throughout his whole life here in Sri Vrindavan town. Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami ki
jai!
Sri Radharaman ji ki
jai!
This worship is very, very beautiful. Gopal Bhatta Goswami arranged a very, very particular system in which the original standard of his worship would be preserved. And Srila Prabhupada told us of all the temples in Vrindavan, in all the temples in Vrajbhumi, the Radharaman temple has the highest standard of deity worship in the mood of devotion. And I think we all experienced that upon seeing the wonderful Sringara of Radharaman just a few minutes ago. Now we'll go to the Samadhi Mandir of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and we'll offer our respects and then continue on our parikram. Vidai go premanami! These deities that are appearing before us are worshipable throughout all of creation. On our far left is a deity of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that is the original deity that was personally worshipped here by Srila Narottam Das Thakur. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai! In the center is the deities of Sri Radha Vinod, which were worshipped by Srila Lokanath Goswami. Shri Shri Radha Vinod ki
jai!
When Lokanath Goswami was living at Kishori Kund near Kadiravan in Braj Mandal, a Brahmin came to him one day with a bag and offered it to him as a donation. And when he opened that bag, he found the beautiful deities of Radha Vinod, wonderful deities of Radha and Krishna. And he was so spellbound and shocked to see them. He was in divine ecstasy. He didn't know what to do. He was simply living under various trees in the forest each night, feeling intense separation from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And at that time, the deity spoke to him and told him that our names our Sri Sri Radha Vinod, and we are very hungry for bhoga. So please do not hesitate to make nice arrangements for our offerings. And Lokanath Goswami worshipped Sri Sri Radha Vinod, and wherever he went, he kept them in that little bag and wore them around his neck. And they were his constant objects of love. Sri Sri Radha Vinod ki
jai!
Later on, when Rupa and Sanatan came to Vrindavan, Lokanath and Bhugarbha Goswami came before the other Goswamis. When Rupa and Sanatan came, they invited Lokanath Goswami to come and reside here. And here he established the temple of Radha Vinod. Just below Radha Vinod is the beautiful deity of Gokulananda, Sri Radha Gokulananda, who was worshipped by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Every morning we sing the song Gurvastakam, beginning Samsara Dava Naladira Loka. This is one of the many beautiful compositions of divine love that emanated from the heart of Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He also wrote one of the most illustrious Rasika commentaries of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which has been analyzed and which has given great divine inspiration and direction to all of the acharyas since that time. On the right are the deities of Sri Sri Radha Vijay Govinda. They are the deities of Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan. Baladev Vidyabhushan was a very exalted scholar and devotee of the Madhva Sampradaya. But in Jagannath Puri, he had the good fortune of the association of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who convinced him of the conclusions of the supreme mellows of Madhurya Ras of Braj Bhumi, and who revealed into his heart the realizations of these sublime topics. So Baladev became the disciple of Vishwanath. Vishnu Swami Sampradaya. They did not give so much credibility to the Gaudiya Sampradaya, simply because none of our Gaudiya Acharyas specifically had written a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. The reason is we find that Jiva Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, they commented on Srimad Bhagavatam, because the Srimad Bhagavatam is directly the commentary of the Vedanta Sutra by Srila Vedavyas himself. And it reveals the highest, purest revelations of transcendence. But still, it was the etiquette in the traditions of the Vaishnava Sampradayas that each Sampradaya has a commentary of the Vedanta Sutra to establish its philosophical truths. So at the time, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who was a great and supremely, divinely realized scholar, he asked Baladev Vidyabhushan to perform this work. So Baladev came before his deities of Radha Govinda, and he prayed to them. He deeply, with great devotion, prayed, as all humble Vaishnavas, however great or learned we may be, we should always consider ourselves great fools, insignificant before the Lord and the previous acharyas. So he prayed to Sri Radha Govindaji that I have no power, I have no strength, I have no knowledge, but you are the source of all of these divine virtues. And Govindaji spoke, and Baladev Vidyabhushan, what he heard from Sri Govindaji, he wrote. And that commentary, when it was brought to Rajasthan, where the Sampradayas were meeting, They all unanimously exclaimed that this commentary of the Brahma Sutra of the Gaudiya Sampradaya written by Baladev is the greatest of all commentaries. And Baladev was so joyful that when he came back to Vrindavan, he named the deities, renamed them, Radha Vijay Govinda, Govinda who has given victory to our Sampradaya. Shri Shri Radha Vijay Govinda Ki
Jai!
And next to Sri Gokulananda is the sacred Shalagram Shila that was brought from Vrindavan and given to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he wore this Shalagram Shila around his own neck for many years. And it is explained that he worshipped this Shila because he saw that it was none different than the body of Lord Sri Krishna himself, the stone from Govardhan Hill. The Govardhan Shila was always moist with the tears of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And sometimes in his emotions of divine love, in the sweet mood of Mahabhava of Sri Radharani, he would put the Shila on his eyes and sometimes over his heart. It was the most precious object of his worship. Seeing the pure renunciation and devotion of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally, with his own hands, presented this Govardhan Shila to Srila Raghunath, showing that the Lord, pleased with the efforts of his devotee, gives the most precious thing of his heart for the pleasure of that devotee. So Raghunath Das Goswami made the worship of this Giriraj Govardhan Shila his very life and soul. After the departure of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Swarup Damodar, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami came to Vrindavan, and throughout the rest of his life he worshipped this beautiful form of the Lord, Govardhan Shila. So this is a very special and holy temple. Let us bow our heads with great humility and pray that by the mercy of the Vaishnavas, we could all live together, serve together, chant together, to further promote this wonderful mission, which is born of the realizations of all of these great souls and their unlimited love for Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda. Jai Radha Gokulananda, Radha Gokulananda, Radhe.
Jai Radha Gokulananda, Radha Gokulananda, Radhe.
And in this Govardhan Shila, which is none different than the body of Sri Krishna, one day as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was holding Giriraj in his hand, his ecstasy of Mahabhav, the Govardhan Shila melted in ecstasy. And to this very day, we could see the original thumbprint of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on the body of Sri Giriraj. In this charming courtyard, Srila Lokanath Goswami performed his bhajan. He was so humble that he never desired any respect from anyone at any time. Srila Lokanath Goswami was an intimate associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Navadvipa Dham. But the Lord understood that when he takes sannyas, if Lokanath was present at the time, it would be so unbearably painful
He could not withstand it. So the Lord instructed Lokanath that I will soon be taking sannyas. You should not be here. You should go to Vrindavan. And there you should wait for me. Arrange for my visit. So Lokanath Goswami, merged in an ocean of separation from Lord Sri Gauranga, traveled by foot from Navadvip to Vrindavan Dham. Simultaneously, he was merged in great anguish of separation, but also there was a great ecstasy that the Lord had given him some service. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, he was on his way to Vrindavan, but by the arrangement of Nityananda Prabhu and later his mother Sachi Devi, he took his residence in Jagannath Puri. And soon after that he began his South Indian tour. When Lokanath Goswami heard this, he was thinking, what is Vrindavan without Radha Krishna? And Radha Krishna have appeared as Lord Sri Chaitanya Dev. So he began to travel to South India. And when he reached the southern parts of India, he had heard that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had returned to Jagannath Puri. So he began to walk to Sri Purushottam Kshetra. And when he arrived at in the vicinity of Puri Dham, he heard the news that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had begun his journey to Vrindavan. So in great love and devotion, he understood that Mahaprabhu has given me the order to meet him in Vrindavan and prepare a place for him. So he walked as quickly as possible here to Sri Brajbhumi. And when he arrived, he heard that Lord Gaurasundar had recently traveled through all the 12 forests and he departed for Prayag. So Lokanath Goswami, he fell unconscious to hear that he had missed the Lord's visit to Vrindavan. And he was planning to go to Prayag the very next day. But that night, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to him in a dream and told Lokanath that he wanted him to remain in Vrindavan. And soon, his own expansions of his mercy in the form of Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami would be coming. So Lokanath Goswami, as well as Bhugharabha Goswami, whose samadhi is at Radha Damodar Temple, they resided here in Vrindavan. I explained the story of how Lokanath was living near Kishori Kund, which is close to Kadiraban, Nandagaon. And by the request of Rupa and Sanatan, who later came and were living here in Vrindavan, he resided in this very place. After Rupa and Sanatan Goswami left this world, Lokanath Goswami was so much devastated in the ecstasy of Vipralamba, or divine separation from his two dearmost friends and associates. And he made a resolution he would never accept a disciple. But by the arrangement of Lord Gaurasundar, Narottam Das Thakur was sent from Kechari Gram in Bengal to Vrindavan. And Sriman Mahaprabhu instructed Narottam in a divine vision that he should accept initiation from Srila Lokanath Goswami. And Narottam, he was the son of a prince. I'm sorry, he was the son of the king. He was a prince. And Lokanath Goswami was very simple. He lived in a mood of utter renunciation. No followers, no disciples, simply always chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
And immersed in his original consciousness as one of the beloved Manjari servants of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. He was the very embodiment of humility. In fact, we do not find Lokanath Goswami's name mentioned hardly at all in Chaitanya Charitamrita, because Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, before beginning writing this great epic, he went to each devotee of Vrindavan and asked for their blessings. And Lokanath Goswami, he said, "I will give you my blessings on the condition that you do not write anything about me in this great work." You see, Krishna within our heart and Gurudev within our heart, they are the silent witnesses of whatever we do, whatever we say, and whatever we think. And ultimately, it is most important that they recognize our sincere endeavors on the path of devotion. What the common people think and feel is ultimately of no relevance. Our aspiration should simply be to humbly please the Vaishnavas for the pleasure of Guru and Krishna. So Lokanath Maharaj was always immersed in such humble service to the Vaishnavas, and always doing his sadhana, meditating on Radha Krishna and Vrindavan and chanting their names. So when Narottam approached him for initiation, Lokanath Goswami, he said, "It is not possible. You are so learned, you are so aristocratic, and besides that, I will accept no disciples in this life." So Narottam, humble and gentle as he was, he decided, "I must serve this great Vaishnava." But Lokanath Goswami would not accept service from anyone. He was only anxious to serve. So from this place where Lokanath Goswami did his bhajan, each day he would go to take his bath in Jamuna, and he would perform his morning duties, responding to nature in the forest before going to Jamuna to take his bath. And each day, very secretly, so that no one knew, Sri Narottam Thakur would very carefully clean that place and prepare it for his coming. And after some time, Lokanath was wondering, how is it that someone is cleaning? The products of my responding to nature's calls. Such dirty job? Who is this? So Lokanath one day kept himself hidden in the bushes, and he saw Sri Narottam with great humility and care, with such devotion, cleaning the stool and urine of his guru and bringing nice fresh water. When Lokanath saw this, he was stunned. He cried out to Narottam, "What are you doing? You are a prince. You are a great person of high aristocracy. And you are such a great and learned scholar. What you are doing? Cleaning the stool and urine of a fallen, sinful soul like myself. How is this possible?" But Narottam Das Thakur, with tears of sincerity, that this is the greatest treasure. This is the greatest fortune in all creation that I have attained by rendering this menial service to a great Vaishnava like you. Millions, billions, trillions of times more precious than all the wealth and all the opulence of the world is the chance to serve the pure devotees. So soon after that, Lokanath Goswami's heart melted by the humility of Narottam, and he gave him initiation. And he was his only disciple throughout his life. In this courtyard, on this side is the original Samadhi Mandir of Srila Lokanath Goswami. And here, this beautiful marble structure is the Samadhi Mandir of Srila Narottam Das Thakur, whose wonderful exemplary behavior and his precious songs in glorification of Sri Mahaprabhu have instilled prema, pure love, in the hearts of millions of souls throughout the centuries. Srila Prabhupada explains that Narottam Das Thakur's songs, although written in simple Bengali language, are as important and as illuminating and as authoritative as the original words of the Vedic scriptures. And on our left, this is the Samadhi Mandir of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that most exalted Rasika Acharya, who revealed the most confidential mellows of Vrindavan through his wonderful writings and his wonderful poetic bhajans and kirtans. So this is a very, very special, intimate part of Vrindavan Dham. Because in these samadhis, we should understand that the divine presence of those personalities are always living. And in these samadhis, these great souls, they hear our prayers and they bestow their precious blessings upon us. So let us bow our heads with great humility, with great devotion, and with very grateful hearts at the lotus feet of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Srila Narottam Das Thakur, Srila Lokanath Das Goswami, and beg, plead for even a drop of their causeless mercy in our lives. Because even the drop from the ocean of mercy of these great personalities can drown our hearts in the sweet mood of pure bhakti. It is by the blessings of the previous acharyas that the love of Vrindavan is awakened within our hearts. So let us pray that we can be in their footsteps, pure humble servants of the Vaishnavas, always anxious to share the mercy and the dust of their lotus feet with all living beings throughout creation. In the lives of these beloved devotees, the essential teaching of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continuously manifesting. And what is that teaching? The Vinadapi
Sunichena Adorapi Sahishnuna Amani Namanadena Kirtanina Sadahari.
When Raghunath Das Goswami through Swarup Damodar asked Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what is the true duty of a man in the renounced order of life? And we should know that Raghunath Das Goswami, when he was asking about renunciation, he was asking about the essence of renunciation, which means the complete giving of our hearts and all of our desires to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Govinda. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he explained to Raghunath, Gramya Katana Shunibe, Gramya Varatana Kohibe, Varana Kohibe, Varana Kohibe. Do not hear the gossip of the ordinary people of this world, and never speak it either. Eat simple and dress simple. Amani manina hoy Krishna naam sadalave Raje Radha Krishna seva manase koribe. Offer all respect and honor to other living beings, but never ever expect any honor for yourself. In this way, in this mood, always chant the holy names of Sri Sri Radha Krishna. And always, in the heart of your hearts, remember and serve their beautiful pastimes in Vrindavan.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare
Narottam Das Thakur ki
jai.
Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur ki
jai.
Lokanath Goswami Maharaj ki
jai.
Sri Vrindavan Dham ki
jai.
Jai Gaura Prema.
Hare Hare.